that you're plugging in during the week. Had a great week. BCA, Believer's Chapel Academy, Believer's Chapel Academy is our co-op for homeschoolers. And Friday, we all went off to Jamestown. We've got two people in the church, Olivia Bacon and Faith Long, these young girls who were in the ballet, and they were in the Nutcracker. We went out to Jamestown to watch Nutcracker. Awesome. But you know what's funny is I'm sitting there watching this, and it's into it for a little bit, and I lean over to Renee. I'm like, really, are there really no words in this? She's like, no, Sean, it's a ballet. But no bad guys, no cops, no one's going to take out anyone, no one tackles anyone. She's like, no, Sean, there's no words, just listen. I'm like, I'm confused. I don't know what they're doing. I don't like this. What's happening? I'm confused. And she's like, just relax. So afterwards, we went out to eat in Jamestown. We went shopping in the mall, and my wife and kids are shopping, and I'm like bored. So it's not good when I'm bored in a mall. So I went my own shopping. I'm like, fine, I'm going shopping. And I went into the Victoria's Secret. And it's great. Have you ever? Oh, I had a blast. It was great. But I mean, listen, if you ever watch, just watch people. Watch dudes as they walk by Victoria's Secret. They're like, dude, it's a mannequin. Relax, man. Calm down. It's a mannequin. So I went in with the whole purpose, like, oh, I'm just going to mess with this saleswoman. Because there's no dudes in there, right? The only dude in there was some dude about 80 years old. I'm like, go for it, man. Awesome. So I'm like, first woman comes to me. I'm having a blast with her. I'm telling her I've been married for 22 years. And she just got married 2.5 months ago. So I was just, I mean, I know her whole history, man. It was fantastic. And I was just like, 22 years is great. And the thing that saved our marriage was Victoria's Secret. You know, she's just like, wow, all right. It was awesome. So she's a good saleswoman. I bought some stuff. It was great. And then, of course, I mean, I can't hide the bag. So I've got the bag. And Renee, and I'm like, honey, I had so much fun. She's like, oh, I bet you had a blast in there, you know? And then my daughter, of all people, my Olivia. And I'm like, I'm going, honey, you're going to love this stuff. And I got, and my daughter, she's like, well, Dad, isn't it really more for you? I'm like, ah, no, you're never allowed in that store. You know, no knowledge of that store ever. Oh, to be in my house. So much fun. I love it. Come on. Amen. Oh. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you. It's for today. Awesome day. Thank you for laughter and joy. We thank you that your word is truth. God, it's alive and it is powerful and it's life-changing. Father, we ask that you would just do a work in us this morning. Father, just as we've already sung, God, we expect that you will do only what you can do. God, you're the only one that can save lives. God, you're the only one that can do the miracles. God, you're the only one that has that perfect timing that will just, God, you'll just show up. When you know you need to show up in our lives. God, that's only what you can do. Father, we ask that you would bless our time in your word this morning. God, open our ears to hear from you and our eyes to see directly and exactly what you have for us to see today. Pinpoint this message to the exact hearts that are in this place. God, you know the hearts. You know their desires. God, you know their hurts. You know their pains. God, you know their joys. You know exactly where they're at today, here. Father, please, by your Spirit, that you would pinpoint this message directly to our hearts. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, God, speak to me today. God, I'm here. I'm here on purpose. My heart is open. God, speak to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God, clip the eagle's wings strongly today. Bless the Lord. Cage the Bengals as well. Amen. Go for it. Excellent. Awesome. Come on, I want you to turn to two places with me, please. Luke 1 and Renee's all confused. Like, who? The Eagles? What? Yeah, come on. Bills are going to the Super Bowl, folks. Come on. I want it for my dad more than anything. I mean, I'm married a Steeler, so I have to be a Steelers fan, and I do love the Steelers. How do you not love that class act? They're great. But I want the Bills to win for my father's sake. So Bills go. Super Bowl. Awesome. Eagles aren't flying this week. Come on. Amen. Ah! Luke 1. They got lucky last week. Come on. Luke 1. Look at this. Come on. I want you to see this because we're going to talk about something that I believe, man, I believe this is going to minister to you this morning. Honestly. I really feel in my heart that You walk out of this place different and changed because that's the power of His Word. And man, we're going to get into this story. We're going to go over two couples, Zacharias and Elizabeth, and Joseph and Mary. And you're going to see there is such similarities in this. It's amazing to see the similarities. And then you're going to have to come to a point, if you believe this, if you believe the Old Testament, New Testament, you're going to have to come to a point to agree that God's timing is unmistakably perfect. Never by mistake, always on time, and always perfect. We're going to see that. And I want you to understand something. Elizabeth, Zacharias, they were old men. They were retired. They were in their old age. Zacharias, he still worked as a priest in the temple, but they were of an age that he says, I am very old. So we're looking at those who are even in that retirement age. And then we look at Mary, who was just a teenager. So I want you to hear this. Young people, teenagers, if you are young and you're a teenager, you got a clue into this. If you are all the way up and through the age, even up to retirement, man, God is not done with you yet. And I want you to see that here this morning. Come on, Luke 1, I want you to get it. Verse 5 says this, in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, there was a priest named Zacharias in the division of Abihai and had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. You got Zacharias and you've got Elizabeth. They were, I like this, verse 6, they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the requirements of the Lord. They were both husband and wife, get this, for their years, for their life. They are old, they are past age of childbearing. He even says, I am very old. And their lives, their marriage together, God says they were both righteous and blameless. The word righteous here, it means to be innocent and holy, to be right before God in conduct and character and practice. It means to practice what is right according to what God said is right. And the Bible says, as husband and wife together, two become one, realizing that we are going to walk this walk with Jesus together and we're going to do it right so that God will look at us and us just doing life, that God could see that both of you are walking right. Both of you in your conduct, in your character, are innocent and holy, so much so that God says they are both blameless, and that means without blame. Nobody could point a finger at either one of them and said, that's who they were before God. And they walked in their marriage, they walked in their life that way. And I want you to see this. Look at this. Verse 7. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. See, folks, in Bible days, and I believe even today, a woman who was barren, in the Bible days specifically, in their time and season, was very, very problematic. Was very problematic. You see, people looked at a woman who couldn't bear fruit. People looked at them as cursed, as there somewhere along the line, sin got in and stayed in, and God has cursed your womb where it won't bear fruit. So you got to understand, in this day of value, the true value of a woman was her purity, how sensitive that is, and the ability to bring forth a son and the ability to bear children. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, something that is not satisfied is a barren womb. Like, yeah, you got to understand the significance of this. When the Bible makes mention and note that they were advanced in age and they had no children, for Elizabeth was barren, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Because there is something that will be lacking in a woman who doesn't give birth. Now listen, there's physical issues, of course. There's other options, obviously. But I'm talking about the one who just is not there. And there, the Bible says there's a lack of fulfillment. That's what the Bible says. So you've got to understand the seriousness of this, of where they're at in their lives. But you know what I don't see? I don't see where Elizabeth and Zacharias are a place of bitterness, are a place of anger, are mad at God, had given up on God. The Bible says that they were both righteous in God's sight. They were both blameless. Even in the midst of their circumstance, even in the midst of being such problematic of having a barren womb, it's amazing to me that they still walked right with God. Because how many times today, when something doesn't go right, we blame God, we get bitter, we got angry, we turn on God, and we give up on God. But no, even in their advanced age, year after year after year, crying out to God for a child, crying out to God for pregnancy, but yet continuing to walk right with God, continuing to be blameless in their conduct, righteous in attitude and righteous in practice and righteous in conduct and in character to stand right before God. Again, when you get to see this, this is huge when you understand this. Verse 8. Have you ever had life interrupted? You ever come to a place where life just comes to a screeching halt at times, or things take place in our time, whether it may be good or it may be bad, that life is interrupted? And I think one of the greatest life interruptions is pregnancy. Husband and wife, everything is going great. Renee and I married, everything is good. We were married for 5 years, and then that statement came. I'm trying to think, I'm pregnant. And man, I tell you what, that stopped, like everything changes, man. Life comes to a screeching halt when you recognize, okay, there's a third party here in the house, and you come to a point to understand what it is to walk in life that God gives us. I think pregnancy has a way of just interrupting our lives. You come to a point where here, these guys are advanced in age, past the age of childbearing, and verse 8 says this, now it happened, that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of people were in prayer outside at that hour in the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. You got to understand this. This is like 400 years later, you've got Malachi, and then according to Scripture, the Bible goes silent for 400 years. So you've got Malachi, who wrote the last book of the Old Testament, started the New Testament. There's a 400-year period that we have to believe that God was at this point silent. There wasn't any prophecies. And all of a sudden, could you imagine Zacharias in the temple burning incense, and all of a sudden to the right of the altar, there's this angelic being who just appears. Yeah, that would cause them to stiffen up a little bit. Right, that would cause him to walk in a sense of being paralyzed when it was what he's talking about. He was just like frozen, like, what is this, right? And then he says this, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard. I love that. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you'll give him the name John. Okay, how long do you think they had been praying for a son? She is now past due. Cannot have children. The Bible says they were advanced in age. Zacharias says here in a minute that he is old. So how long? Like, I'm just wondering, once they understood that their bodies just, there's no function there, man. It's not going to happen. I wonder if they stopped praying. I don't know. But isn't it amazing that an angel shows up? It says, God's heard your cry. And Elizabeth is going to give birth to a son. And you're going to name him John. Verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he will drink no wine, no liquor. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means they're kind of trying to have John be a Nazarite, which you can read in Numbers 1 about the Nazarite, or number 6, excuse me, about the Nazarite. But this is one who wouldn't touch liquor, wouldn't touch a dead animal, wouldn't touch a dead human, and they lived that type of life, completely and totally surrendered to the Lord. That's what they're going here. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, yet while in his mother's womb, and he will turn. Look at this, I love this. Hey, Zacharias, get this, man, don't miss this. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. There has been a 400-year dry, 400 years, folks. I'm 46. I can't imagine what 400 years looks like. And he says this. This is who your son will be. He's going to be great. All right. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yet while in his mother's womb, he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. Look at this. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient in the attitude of the righteous. So as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He's like the fullback for Jesus. You ever see football? Fullback in football, they're the ones that go before the running back, you know, the star with the ball. They're the ones who clear the way. They're the ones, if anyone's, usually they're massive, usually they're thick, usually they just, they just like run people over. That's their job. Move. If someone's in the way, move them. That's their responsibility. So here you've got John the Baptist is like the fullback for Jesus, man. He's like clearing the way, right? This is the deal. And then verse 18, Zechariah says to the angel, well, how will I know that this is certain? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. You see how he put that? He says, I'm old and my wife is advanced. I like that. Because if I was saying, I'm old and Renee's old, that'd be a bad day. Gentlemen, learn. Learn from Zacharias, the priest who lives in the temple before the doing incense. I mean, listen to what he says. He says, listen, I'm an old man, but my wife is advanced. That's awesome. Points. I need points today, so just love me. Excellent. Come on. Amen. And he says this. Look at this. An angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words. Man, this is amazing. What a story. This is. Could you see God's hand in this? Could you imagine what it would be like for Gabriel to stand in your presence and speak? I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I've given you a message. I've told you that your wife is going to become pregnant. I told you his name is going to be John. He is going to be great. He is a forerunner to Christ. And here Zechariah is in awe and says, how is this ever going to be possible? I'm old and my wife is advanced in years. I love this. Look at this. Now he's become mute. He can't speak. Verse 21, the people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. Like, what is taking this priest so long? But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. Like, honestly, what kind of charades is that? Like, what kind of game, Pictionary, do you come to the point when everyone's eyes are on you because you're late coming out of the temple and you cannot speak, but yet you're doing this whole thing about an angel and my wife pregnant? Wow. I mean, like, how are you going to do that, right? So look at this. So I can imagine this. He's off doing his he's in the temple and he's coming before the Lord and he's having the incense and he comes to a point where now he's ready to go home. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them, and he remained mute. Verse 23, when the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. Look at this. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. Like, okay, you got this old dude. He's the priest. He's in the temple. He's got the altar of incense. He's lifting it up to the Lord. Angel shows up and said, hey, wow, this is going to happen. You've been called by God. You and your wife, even in your retirement, even in your old age, you're going to give birth. This is a miracle. This is something that only God can do. And you are chosen, for your son is going to be the fourth. I mean, could you imagine? He's looking at his clock going, when is my priestly duties over? Like, I got business at home, right? I could see the old man running home to his wife, and then he can't speak. Like, so he's trying to define to Elizabeth, honey, we're about to have playtime, and you're going to get pregnant. An angel showed up, and this, I mean, you know, she's probably thinking, how much incense were you smoking in there? Like, what are you talking about? Tell me. Pregnant. I mean, like, seriously. Wow. That's a true story, man. Put yourself as Elizabeth, where your old man comes home way past John, and he says, woo, you know. She's like, you will say anything, won't you? Anyways, come on. My wife's never coming back to church again. This is great. She loves me. No, I want you to see this, though. This is great. Come on. And after these days, verse 24, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. And she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying this, verse 25, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away the disgrace among men. Do you see how amazing it is that now she has life in her womb? Because from man's eyes to Elizabeth, there was a disgrace because she couldn't bear a child. She says, God has shown favor to me in my advanced years, way past childbearing. You imagine when we really understand, God, you are in control. God, nothing's hard for you. And here all they were doing was just living their lives for God. This is before Jesus, and they lived in a sense to obey the commandments, to walk under his law, and to recognize that we will follow in a reverence and a fear of God according to the Old Testament. We're going to walk in his commandments. And all they did, gang, in their marriage and in their life is walk right before God in character and in conduct, and then it happened. And then Gabriel shows up and changes everything, where their lives now, even in a retirement age, have been flipped upside down and completely interrupted in a whole new direction. But I love that even in the midst of men and mankind looking at them in disgrace, like something was wrong, the Bible clarifies, God gives us a very clear picture. No. They walked right before me. They followed my commandments. They were blameless. There is no wrong in them. It's my perfect timing for the forerunner of my son. Look at this. Verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, again, isn't it amazing that we see no activity for 400 years, and within 6 months, Gabriel shows up again, twice, was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, for the Lord is with you." Get this, teenager, get this young person. Here you've got Mary now just starting off in life. She's found her man digs her, she digs her man, saying, "My life is set, I am good." And then it happened. An angel shows up to this teenager, anywhere between 12 to 15, maybe 16. And completely, you talk about life interrupted. Teenagers, can you please not think that God will use you later? Can you please tap in now? Can you please walk in a way that is right now, expecting God to show up in your life now as a teenager? Now, listen, between 12 and 15, God shows up to Mary and says, "Your life will never be the same, Mary." Teenager, are you going to allow God to interrupt your life? You who are retired, are you going to allow God to interrupt your life and trust him for his timing? Are you just going to walk in a sense to say, "God, I'm just going to walk righteous before you. I'm going to follow you. Jesus, you're alive. You're within me. And I want to walk in a manner that is right in conduct and in character. And I'm just going to trust you for your perfect timing in my life." And then you see God show up. But please, please don't think as a teenager that maybe God can use me later. Because just maybe God wants to use you today. Now, when you come to a place early to say, "I'm just going to walk right with God. And I'm going to trust him to do something in my life. And it'll be his perfect timing." And you look at this. The angel, verse 30, says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall name him Jesus." Isn't that amazing? Same angel shows up to Zacharias and Elizabeth and says, "Hey, you're going to have a son and you're going to name him." They already give him names. "Mary, you're going to have a son and you're going to name him Jesus." Look at what he says. "And he will be great." Same thing he said about John. "He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, this child shall be called the Son of God." Could you imagine all this upon this teenager? Could you imagine Gabriel and just his brilliance and his magnificence, that she would just come to a place to be in awe and amazement of this brilliant person that stands before me as an angel of the Lord, saying, "I am Gabriel," talking about being in the presence of God, talking about what God's going to do through me. Listen, they knew Old Testament. They understood what it was to be that virgin. They understood what it was that somebody from this line has to give birth to the Messiah. And all this on Mary, and I love this. Verse 36, "And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she, who is called barren, is now in her sixth month. Mary, you remember Elizabeth? Remember your relative, maybe a cousin or whatever it would be, but she is a relative of yours. And remember that she is like that old relative. The angel can call her old, but Zacharias can't. So listen, you know her, the one that's old, the one that was past pregnancy, the one who couldn't get pregnant, the one who where people called was a disgrace. Yeah, Mary, she's pregnant. And he says this, I love this, in verse 37. For no thing will be impossible with God. Again, when you understand that nothing is impossible, could you imagine this beginning to build Mary up? Could you imagine the courage that begins to come in Mary? Can you imagine where she's once going, me, really, Son of God, know no man, but yet be pregnant, a virgin who's pregnant, and the Messiah, He is great, His kingdom will have no end. He's Jesus, this is Jesus, this is Emmanuel with me. Listen, hold on, Mary, listen. Nothing is impossible with God. See, when you talk about a depth of understanding God's perfect timing, both of these births were prophesied in Isaiah. Isaiah was written 700 years before this. Both of them together within 6 months' time. Talk about God having perfect, unmistakable timing. I want you to see this. Look at this. Isaiah says this. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for God. That is a prophecy 700 years before John the Baptist, speaking specifically of John the Baptist. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call His name Emmanuel. 700 years before angel shows up to Mary, and both of them within 6 months. You talk about people who want to check the validity of the truth of God's word, like, well, I don't think. When you talk about a prophecy, two prophecies about two different people that came within 6 months of each other, and both of them prophesied 700 years beforehand, gang, we have a God who can do all things, and we have a God who knows every inch of every single person's life. We have a God who knows exactly where you're going to be tomorrow, next month, next year, 10 years if the Lord would tarry. God knows your life, folks. He doesn't miss anything. Ever. And nothing is impossible with Him. And this teenager comes to a place to say, be it done to me according to your word. She says, I'm all in. You can interrupt my life. And I'm in. Teenager, are you in this place that you would allow God to interrupt your life? Here, now, at any moment. Are you willing to surrender that? Are you willing to take ridicule? Are you willing to stand alone? Are you willing to be unshakable in your faith? Are you willing? Are you willing? Be it done to me. Because she took some hits, folks. Be it done to me according to your word. Genesis 4, please. I want you to talk about God's perfect timing. Galatians 4, not Genesis, my bad. Galatians 4, verse 4 says this. But when the fullness of time came, that means it was an appointed time. That means it was predetermined, predestined. That means it was perfect timing. When the fullness of time came, look at this, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He may redeem. Look at the good news here, man. That He may redeem those who are under the law, so that we may receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but you are a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Look at this. You talk about God's perfect timing in life. He knew exactly when He had to send Jesus. He knew that exact moment to that exact girl named Mary at the exact time to be born in a manger, that exact time for Him to come, to live His life 33 years, to find Himself on a cross. For what? So that He could redeem us from the law. By grace, we are saved through faith that we come to a place. Look at this. I love this, but it goes past that, folks. We've got to understand the point of Galatians 4 is, yes, Jesus at a perfect time came. Yes, he put himself on a cross and we are redeemed by that. But don't stop there. Yes, we walk in redemption. Yes, he paid the price for us. But the Bible says, God, listen, from the Garden of Eden until we are home in heaven with him, God is about relationship, folks. What does he say? We are redeemed so that what? We can walk in God so that he would be our Father, so much so he would be our Abba Father. Gang, it is that relationship. It is him as our Father that we come before him, based on what Jesus has done for us. No longer a slave, but a son or a daughter. So do you believe in God's timing in your life? Do you believe that Zacharias and Elizabeth in their elder years said, God, just maybe you're not done with us? I believe that a teenager in the very beginning of her life, God, be it done to me according to your word, I'm in. Look at husband and wife. All they do, man, all they did, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they just walked with God in a sense of being right in him. Is your marriage one that puts righteousness? Is your marriage one that says both of us will walk innocent, both of us will walk holy, both of us will walk in conduct and character before the Lord, that we will be right and blameless? And then all of a sudden, God will show up. Are you ready for your life to really come to a place to be interrupted where you can say, God, we're in. God, we're in. And my heart is just like, at what point did they stop praying for Elizabeth to be pregnant? The angel assured him, God has heard your petition. God has heard your cry, Zacharias. And your wife is going to be pregnant. Do you really believe that God hears our cry today, tomorrow, and always? Or just maybe, man, maybe there's some who just... maybe there's some who walked away from walking in righteousness. Maybe something happened, you got bitter, you got angry. Maybe something happened, and maybe you turned your back on God. For Elizabeth and the people around her, she was looked at as a disgrace. But yet the Bible assures us, man, no, she walked right with God. Come on, let's bow our heads, please. So where are you in this morning? Folks, I have to believe, even according to this, if you still have breath, God still has a plan for you. For I know, God says, the plans that I have for you. I know. God said that. I know the plans that I have for you. God said they're plans for a future and a hope. God said there are plans for, not for calamity, not for grief, but for blessing and for goodness. That's God's plan. And can I ask you this? How many of you have given up? I'm praying for a loved one. Maybe it's a mom and dad. Maybe it's a brother or sister. Maybe it's a son or daughter. Maybe it's a husband or wife. Maybe it's just a lifelong friend. It'd be amazing if we stay the course and we stay on target right with God. That God knows what we don't know. That God knows exactly that moment, that exact moment when your words are going to ring in this person's heart, where God by his Spirit will bring conviction. God by his Spirit will bring this person back to a place to following God, that you're to stay the course. We're to walk in a way that is right before God. We're to walk in a sense to say, God, you, yes, you. God, your timing is perfect. And there is nothing impossible with you. God, you can do all things. You believe in God's perfect timing, folks. You believe in a God who can prophesy 700 years earlier. 700 years. pinpoint it to the exact perfect second of pregnancy. Wow. Wow. Come on, I believe that. God, you are so good. You can do all things. God, I pray that our hearts are in tune with you right now. If there are those in this place who've gotten off course, there are those in this place, God, that just have maybe given up in their timing and what they think you can do. God, I'm asking that there is a sense here and now that they would turn back to you and trust you for your perfect timing. God, I pray for the teenagers in this place. Say, God, be it done to me according to your word. I'm in. God, I'm not going to wait for you to use me. You can use me now. Your timing is perfect. God, all I'm going to do is just walk right with you. That's what I'm going to do. And just address everyone in this place. That if you're in this place this morning, I need you to acknowledge this. That you have a place this morning. You say, listen, I want to walk right with God. That's what I want to do. I just want one step in front of the next. I want to walk right with God. And then past that, I'm just going to trust him for his timing. Whatever you're waiting for, whatever you've been asking God for, folks, he's heard your cry. Psalm 77:1 says, I cry out to the Lord. I cry with a loud voice. I cry out to him and he hears me. His timing, folks. His timing. Our job is to walk right with him. Our job is to acknowledge him in everything we think, say, and do. Our job is to walk blameless before him and then trust him for timing. If you're in his place this morning, you're like, Sean, please. I'm on the one to commit. So I'm going to walk right with God. And past that, I'm going to trust him for his perfect timing. Just put your hand up in the air, please. Put your hand up there, high, hold it high, and then take it down. I mean, that's just for you and God. That's for you to acknowledge before God. God, I want to walk in a sense of righteous before you. It's all. And then, God, I'm going to trust you for timing. I believe in God's perfect timing. If you were crying out for a husband, crying out for your wife, crying out for your children, crying out for a brother or a sister, folks, I believe in God's perfect timing. I do. Trust him. Trust him in his timing. You and I have the right to trust him as a father. For he redeemed us to make us sons and daughters. And to be able to cry out, Abba, Father. When you cry out to God, cry out to him, to a father, that you can trust him. Folks, I want our attention on Jesus and I want our attention on worship. But man, for this first song, we're going to sing two songs. And for the first song, I just want you to sit. What has God spoke to you this morning? I want this to sink in today. Please, I want it to sink in. Trust him with his perfect timing. His ways are not our ways, man. His mindset is not our mindset. So far above us. Do you believe that he knows your every second? I'm asking that even in this song, folks, if you're not right with God, if you know you're not walking in a sense of righteousness, according to conduct, according to practice, I'm asking that in this song you would make it right with God. Ask for forgiveness. Come back to him in return. And say, God, I'll trust you for your perfect timing.